Welcome to Water of the Word, the radio ministry of Pastor Steve Hadley of Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. Join us today as Pastor Steve continues through a verse-by-verse study of the wonderful Old Testament book of 1 Kings. Old Testament pictures illustrate and model New Testament truths. Today, as we learn more about the foundational history of God's people and the nation of Israel, we'll also see that the people, the problems, and God's supernatural interventions are not so different from our lives today. With so many challenges coming against God's church and God's people, we need the right spiritual tools and biblical insights to stand firm and overcome. Pastor Steve's study in 1 Kings will show us some very practical tools that may be used powerfully in these last days. So come on along. May we all be refreshed and inspired as we are washed by the water of the Word.
The demon says, I got one! I got one! And the demon over here who heard this person complain, I got one too! I got one too! Let's get these people together. I'm telling you guys, it is the most amazing supernatural thing. If you're carrying around a pretty good frump, it's astounding who will come sidling up next to you. How's it going? You're like, okay. Have you seen the such and such and the what's it such and what they do do and what they don't hear? That's exactly what I was feeling. Yeah, yeah. There is always around any work of ministry that actually is getting some traction in the things of God. There is always the demons that are doing what they know how to do to blow the thing up. And here is one of the most time-tested and proven things. Unify the animosity. The demons know who's got heartburn and who are discontent, and then they make sure that you find each other. It is real, and it's happening right here in our story. It's a powerful, devilish spirit of unified animosity, thick in every church. When we complain, the devil brings around people, also discontent, whose hearts are receptive to non-biblical stuff. The devil waits for the most destructive time to bring them all together. Ahab's complaining finds a rich soil of Jezebel's evil heart. Remember, she's an idolater. She is self-motivated and self-centered. Ahab's complaining reveals something that's been cooking in her heart. You want to see what it is? Verse 8. So she wrote letters in Ahab's name, sealed them with his kingly seal, and sent the letters to the elders and the nobles who were dwelling in the city with Naboth. And she wrote the letters saying this, proclaim a fast. Wait a minute. This is a spiritual thing, isn't it? She's calling for a fast, Isaiah 58. Well, that must be a good thing. Keep reading. And seat Naboth. What does Naboth's name mean, everybody? Fruitful. Set the one who's actually fruitful in the things of the Spirit of God, set him in a high, honorable place among the people, and seat two men. She, remember, is a Baal worshiper, and she has a kind of working knowledge of the Jewish understanding. Right in your margin there, Deuteronomy 17, verses 6 and 7. She knows her Bible. And what does the Bible say there? That by two a matter is confirmed. And especially if someone has committed a capital offense, some offense that is worthy of death, it has to be witnessed by two. That's why she says two men. And scoundrels before him to bear false witness against him. And here's what they're going to say. Hey, you have blasphemed God and the king. Then take him out and stone him. Because blaspheming God, right in your margin, Leviticus 24, verse 16, blasphemy of God is punishable by stoning to death. She is going to use the Bible to accomplish her evil plan. Surely no one has ever done that before. Stone him that he may die. What does Naboth's name mean again, everybody? Who's the wicked one here? Ahab and Jezebel. And a couple of scoundrels here in a minute. What are they trying to do? They're trying to kill the fruitful one. Verse 11. So the men of his city, the elders and nobles who were inhabitants of his city, did as Jezebel had sent to them, as it was written in the letters which he had sent to them. Verse 12. They proclaimed a fast, seated Naboth, the high honor among the people, and the two men, scoundrels. That's the Hebrew word, Belial. And it's also known as fools. Surely in God's family, the Jewish people, surely self-willed, non-biblical posers using God's word, they probably won't be able to rabble-rouse fools to do their work. Right? How many fools are in the land of Israel? Well, there's at least two of them. And how do you not be a fool, everybody? You commit to study the book of Proverbs. Most of us are convinced that we're not fools. Most of us think, you know, I got a brain in my head, but here's the deal. All of us are capable of acting foolishly. The Proverbs, praise God, will show us when, where, and how to walk in wisdom. So the two scoundrels, the two fools came in, sat before him, and the scoundrels witnessed against him. False witness. By the way, what does the Bible say about bearing false witness? Is that a don't do? Do you notice where discontentment leads to complaining? Complaining leads to Jezebel, and Jezebel leads to out and out rebellion against God's word. God has a thing or two to say about false witnesses. Sat before him, and the scoundrels witnessed against him, against Naboth, in the presence of the people, saying, "Hey, Naboth, he's blaspheming God and the king." So they took him outside the city, stoned him with stones, so that he, what does it say, everybody? He died. He died. In another location, it's not just Naboth, but all of his sons are killed as well. Verse 14. And they sent to Jezebel saying, "Naboth has been stoned and he is dead." Now number three, rebellion. False witness. Is that a yes or a no in God's word? That is a no. What about murder? Is that a yes or a no? That's definitely a no. Loved ones, sin costs. Things die and people die. If not physical death, when we complain, when we haven't done the homework of our discontentment, and now it's leaking out of our mouth and the point of complaining, and if we're even moving into rebellion, and rebellion always leads to what, everybody? Shipwreck. Somebody has died. Here it's a physical death. What about harvest? Maybe it's reputations die. Ministries die. Families die. Churches die. Are blown apart. Do you see this with me, that in this Old Testament picture is this New Testament concept of why Paul says, learn how to be content. Naboth, fruitful. Killing the fruitful. That's really what the devil is after. He recruits from among the discontented. I want to say that again. This is really what the devil is about. Killing the fruitful. That's what he wants. Well, where does he get his recruits from? From among the discontented. Do you believe that, loved one? And do you believe that any one of us in this room can be in this group of discontented? What's the way that we get out of that? Word, worship, prayer, and fellowship. Be thankful for. Pray about. Be anxious for. Dwell on what is pure, whatever is of a good report, etc., etc. If you park your brain there, discontentment has a tougher time getting on you. Please remember that when you are discontent, the devil can smell it on you. Unified animosity will see to it that someone is going to come across your path and they're going to say, rah, 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 and you're going to go, rah, rah, rah. Verse 15. And it came to pass when Jezebel heard that Naboth had been stoned and was dead, and that Jezebel said to Ahab, arise, he's dead. Take possession of the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite, which he refused to give you for money. For Naboth is not alive, but he is dead. 34 years I've been in this town, you guys. Of the four churches that I have been involved in a great depth and detail, planting a couple of those and working diligently in the rest, I've heard this same sentiment too many times. Let me repeat what Jezebel said. Arise! Take possession! Grab it, grab it! The vineyard of Naboth, the Jezreelite, which he refused to give you for money. For Naboth is not alive. He's dead. The fruitful one is dead. Here's what I have seen in 34 years too many times. Pastor so-and-so is finally dead. Our discontent, our complaining, our rebellion finally killed him. Now we can take the stuff that we want. We can take pastor's people, pastor's ministry. It's now ours. We'll do a much better job with it. It's phrased in a couple of different ways, but it's effectively the same thing that Jezebel said. We got his stuff. He's dead. Ha! The fruitful one, the biblical one, is gone. Or at least his ministry. His people, his ministry are now ours, and we'll do a better job with it anyway. I used to keep a dubious statistic, and I stopped counting probably 20 plus years ago when I left off at probably more than 75 pastors who moved to Reno with a great heart and a soaring expectation and a powerful optimism. And within a few years, they're gone. They move out. You've heard me say it before. I've talked to a number of denominational pastors over the years. We are modeled closely after the Calvary Chapel model in that we believe that a pastor is called. We believe that he is trained in the school of discipleship, which is basically, on-the-job training to a large degree. Many Calvary Chapel-type pastors are not formally trained in seminaries, but I know many of the denominations that do, and I've spoken to a number of denominational people, and then when the doors close and nobody's listening, they say to me, you know, when I got assigned to Reno, I heard the snickers of the placement committee of my denomination. And I asked them, why are you laughing? Because I got Reno. And they said, because Reno is the graveyard of pastors. There's some of you in this room, I know some of your story and where you've been. Has that been your experience? And although I may be a little bit sensitive to Reno, I'm sure that that's true in almost any community. Please understand something, that what we see before us in the form of Jezebel and Ahab, discontentment, if we don't deal with it, it's a heart condition. It's not a condition. It's not a situation condition. It's a heart condition. When we're complaining against our circumstances, like the children of Israel complained against Moses, Moses was bumming. Man, these people are really mad at me. God says to Moses, they're not mad at you, Moses, they're mad at me. And so when we are discontent with where we are, there's a part of us that are kind of saying to God, why are you doing this to me? I don't deserve it. God says, and that's why I have you here. You're in the school of squish. What do you mean squish? Like a toothpaste tube. You squeeze a toothpaste tube, you better get toothpaste. You squeeze a Christian Harvest Family Fellowship, ooh, I didn't know that was in there. I'm telling you, if we don't get this discontentment dealt with the Lord, the enemy sniffs it out. The spirit of unified animosity is working. And the demon in charge of that guy says, I got one! And the one over here says, I got one too! And then they find each other, and pretty soon they're doing this together. And now that it's complaining, oh, you are well on your way, because there's triangulation. Usually there's somebody talking to this guy about that guy. What does God's word say? If I have an issue with that guy, who do I go to? I go to that guy. But if I don't, I go to him about them. There's a triangle. And when that happens, you guys, do you understand that rebellion is now at hand? Because the stuff coming out of your mouth now soon blows completely past God's word. And the most blatant of sin, thou shalt not bear false witness, somehow doesn't apply to you. You are in rebellion, and oh, loved one, strap on the loving helmet of the Lord, because here comes shipwreck. Let me see what Jezebel says one more time. Would you have verse 15? Hey, Ahab, arise and take possession of the vineyard of Naboth, the Jezreelite, which he refused to give you for money, for Naboth is not alive anymore. He's dead. I pray, Harvest Family Fellowship, please get this. So it was when Ahab heard that Naboth was dead, that Ahab got up and went down to take possession of the vineyard of Naboth, the Jezreelite. The fruitful one is dead. Now number four, shipwreck, verse 17. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, arise, go down to meet Ahab, the king of Israel. It's been about 6 years since the showdown of Mount Carmel. So where has Elijah been? He's been discipling Elisha. 6 years. Okay, time to get up and go back to Ahab's house. Who lives in Samaria, there he is in the vineyard of Naboth, where he has gone down to take possession of it. You shall speak to him, saying, thus says the Lord, have you murdered and also taken possession? And you shall speak to him, saying, thus says the Lord, in the place where dogs licked the blood of Naboth, dogs shall lick your blood. And that's right, you heard me, your blood. This is going to be fulfilled in the next chapter. So Ahab said to Elijah, have you found me, O my enemy? Is Elijah, who represents the word of God, is the word of God really your enemy? Sin is your enemy. And he answered and he said, I have found you because you have sold yourself to do evil in the sight of the Lord. Behold, I will bring calamity on you. I will take away your posterity. That's your family, which is to say your future. And will cut off from Ahab every male in Israel, both bond and free. And I will make your house like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and like the house of Baasha, the son of Ahijah. And we went over all those horrible deaths in previous chapters. Both powerful examples, of course, Ahab ignored. Because of the provocation with which you have provoked me to anger and made Israel sin. And concerning Jezebel, the Lord also spoke, saying, the dog shall eat Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel, and the dog shall eat whoever belongs to Ahab and dies in the city, and the birds of the air shall eat whoever dies in the field. That's an ignoble death. Her death is fulfilled in 2 Kings chapter 9, verse 25. And there was no one like Ahab who sold himself to do wickedness in the sight of the Lord, because Jezebel, his wife, stirred him up. And he behaved very abominably, following idols, according to all that the Amorites had done, whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. Then he tore his clothes, put on sackcloth on his body, fasted and laid in sackcloth, and went about mourning. So, is he having a repentant moment? Don't know. Verse 28. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, see how Ahab has humbled himself before me? God, who knows the intent and purposes of men's heart, says that this was genuine. Because he has humbled himself before me, I will not bring the calamity in his days. In the days of his son, I will bring the calamity on that house. I wrote in my margin, God's heart is that people see just how sinful that we truly are. And what sin has cost. And that only God can forgive, heal, and restore. And even though he has repented, I want you to notice something. God's mercy is still poured out, I know. But he is going to reap what he sowed. We're going to see that in the next chapter. The nation of Israel, their spiritual condition is a mess. And Ahab bears much responsibility. The fruit of his years of blatant and willful disobedience and rebellion to God's word will have its effect. And then I wrote my margin right there, shipwreck. Will we see Ahab in heaven? I don't know. According to this, at this moment, it was a true humility and repentance. So everybody, today's message is going to be entitled, The Danger of Discontentment. Would you join me in prayer? Lord, I thank you for this proverb-like wisdom that we saw tonight. Thank you, Lord, that in the New Testament it is powerfully and with great focus and clarity. Paul says, be anxious for nothing. Pray about everything. Be thankful for everything. And meditate on what is pure, of a good report, praiseworthy, what is lovely. That's where we are to plug in our brains. If we don't, the seeds of discontentment then start to grow. And if I don't do my due diligence and proper biblical homework, discontentment leads to complaining. Complaining leads to rebellion. And rebellion always leads to shipwreck. I know that not everybody believes me when I say how serious this is. But I just pray in Jesus' name, may Harvest Family Fellowship be people who have at least heard that message. And then I pray, Lord God, that alongside of us, everyone here at Harvest, when they begin to hear complaining with great love and a desperate, oh no, you didn't. Oh no, not because we're better than, because we know that a brother or a sister is moving along the progression of towards shipwreck. And may we all, with great love, as Galatians 6 says, come alongside such a one and say, brother or sister, let us go right now to the person that you're bugged with. Oh, I don't want to do that. Never mind. It's cool. We're cool. I don't feel like that anymore. Now with the eyes of the trained physician can see an x-ray and spot problems, I pray we at Harvest, Lord, are like trained physicians of sorts. And when we hear certain things, like a physician, we know that's cancer. And that all of us, Lord, who love the body of Christ, say it is my job to come alongside the leadership at Harvest and step in. Nope, I'll just call Pastor Steve and say, so-and-so said such and such. Please don't. Please, loved one, will you help us here at Harvest? This is a difficult line to hold. This is a huge, challenging tug of war that we are constantly pulling on the rope, and our arms are weary, frankly. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen.
You've been listening to the book of 1 Kings with Pastor Steve Hadley of Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. We hope these Old Testament truths have been helpful models of just how powerfully God works right now in the life and ministry of every believer. If you missed any of today's message or would like to hear it in its full, unedited format, You can watch this or any of Pastor Steve's teachings at our website. Just visit us at harvestreno.org. That's www.harvestreno.org. Come join us Sundays at 10:30 and Wednesday evenings at 6:30. Harvest is located at 350 South Rock Boulevard in Reno. Until next time, Pastor Steve encourages all of us to follow Acts 2:42 and Word, Worship, Prayer, and Fellowship every day.
How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me.
May the Lord bless you and keep you as we are washed by the water of the Word.